Hey, it's episode 12 of Pizza Rainbow, so you know what that means? We're talking about stuff. Stuff to include, but is not limited to, The Bachelor, the new Ghostbusters movie that's called Bridesmaids 2, We're Haunted by Our Periods. Let's just get into this.
Jim Poulsen.
How are you doing this week? You having a good week?
I'm doing real good this week. I'm having a real good week.
Nice. What are your New Year's resolutions?
Shut up.
You have to fucking tell me now.
Nope,
you guys.
You lost your chance.
That's okay.
You're done.
I don't want to know.
I know.
I do, but I don't.
That's okay.
So, seriously, your room is looking really nice.
Hey, thanks.
We record in Amber's room. It's a very zen, calming place.
It is, but then that gets to be a detriment when we're both feeling like low energy too.
Yeah, except I just breathed in like a lot of really good doTERRA oils.
Mm-hmm. Which helps.
Yeah, they're not our sponsor, but doTERRA oils.
They could be.
doTERRA.
They could be our sponsor.
doTERRA. Go doTERRA.
If you want to buy them, yeah. You just hit me up and I will hook you up. I did a sex, sleep, and emotions thing last night with the oils, and that was pretty awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
I totally used to call it doTERRA.
doTERRA. I don't think you're the only one.
Yeah. Well, because it's kind of hard, you know.
Well, it has that like line on top of the O.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm pronouncing it, mispronouncing it too.
I think you're probably. I would
doTERRA.
Hope you would. Yeah, I would hope that we are. You are.
Hopefully. It doesn't matter.
Mm. It's part
They're
of my
great.
Life.
They're great.
Except I can't afford to go nuts, but someday.
They're surprisingly a lot more affordable than people think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just mean I'm broke. Like, broke.
Yeah.
Like, haha, not funny, bro.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, otherwise, they're super affordable.
Yes.
Everything is unaffordable when you're broke.
Yeah, everything is unaffordable when you're broke. But then when you're in that broke mindset... So you got to pull yourself out of the broke mindset and be like, I'm full of abundance.
Blah, blah. I'll be right back. I'm going to go read The Secret.
And then you'll feel a lot better.
Yeah. I find it funny about The Secret because, like the fundamental ideas of it, awesome.
Yeah.
But really, it just was like, it's all about, like, money and success. I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
But.
I don't know. It's one of those things where I feel like it blew up so fast and so big that like now it has like a really cheesy connotation to it.
I
don't know. I mean, I loved it. Like when I read it, it changed my life. But I also like read it 2 years after everybody else did too, as is my habit. There's a couple things in there that I don't agree with, and like some of the people that were interviewed for the book kind of spoke out against like her whole thing about like if there's starvation in Africa, it's because they're all like vibrating at the same like thing to make that possible, and I'm like, that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, that's kind of dumb.
Yeah, so stuff like that I don't love, but I do. I mean, I love the book. It is one of those books where it's like every once in a while you get to crack that book open and be like, oh yeah, like I can have the things that I want and I can do. Yeah,
it's kind of good. One of those books that you just kind of keep like somewhere where you know you can just be like, oh, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right, book.
Thanks.
Okay, cool. And then you put it away.
You know another book that's like that too is Ask and It Is Given. And that's another one that like it looks like the cover makes it look cheesy, but that's only because it's been mass produced so much and it's so affordable. Like they want it so that everybody can afford it.
Yeah.
But that's definitely a book that like first time I read it, I was kind of like, I don't know. And then the more that I read it, though, the more I'm just like, holy crap. Like, this book is great.
So, yeah. It'd probably be easier if it was just, like, plain white and it just says the title of the book.
Yeah.
In, like, Helvetica.
Yeah.
Just, like, simple.
Come soon, my own self-help book in just white and lettering in Helvetica.
Yo.
The Magic of the Universe by Amber L. Carter.
In Helvetica. The Magic of the Universe in Helvetica by Amber Carter.
That sounds amazing.
You have to, or can I?
Yeah.
But it'll be The Magic of the Universe in Helvetica by Amber Carter by Jen Paulson.
Yes. And then we'll just like, we'll fill it with inspirational sayings with us like photoshopped as like riding on unicorns through clouds.
Yeah.
Like imagine like if Tim and Eric, like awesome, whatever, awesome, great job. If they did like a motivational book. We should make it like that.
We should, and then we should do it like we're doing senior pictures on a slice of pizza. Yes. I'm gonna write these down.
You know who should make these for us is Good Bad Photoshop.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Write this down because it needs to be a thing.
What was the other one we were talking about? Unicorn, cloud, rainbow. We're riding separate unicorns, or are we sharing a unicorn ride?
It can be both. For like each motivational saying has to have a different backdrop. So like we just come up, like one of us could be like straddling a rainbow while the other one is like taking off on a unicorn.
Yeah, I think seriously, like, okay, so like the middle pages of the book.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you just crack it open to the middle and it's like one page. You know what I'm talking about? Yes. That one middle page. Yep. It's like a full.
Yeah.
Whatever they all are, if you know how books work. Sometimes I forget. But then that, like, middle picture will be, like, just a huge one of just the both of us, you know, like, together on a unicorn, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, on the front of the book, it'll be separately on unicorns or something.
Yeah. Well, the front of the book is just plain white, remember?
Yes.
We got to keep the front of the book, like, very... not misleading, but just like, what is this book?
Well, yeah, it'll be black and white and stark and plain on the outside.
Yep.
And then on the inside, it'll just be like fucking Lisa Frank, real.
Like you just took a drop of acid and now you're getting all this straight up awesome motivation from two chicks riding unicorns.
And I want to be on one of mine. I would like it if I could be like sort of having like one of those camp pictures. Okay. Like when you're at camp. And everyone's kind of like, just two kids, like, except for me, and it's going to be like a Lisa Frank bear.
I think that's great.
Where we're just like, we're at camp!
Thanks for sending me to camp, Mom!
Having the best time with my Lisa Frank panda bear friend! Yes, it has to be a panda bear!
That's amazing. Yeah, because my friend Jeremy and I did Meditations for Villains, where we took pictures of, like, Jareth from Labyrinth and... We did a couple other ones, too, and I can't remember what they were. But then we put, like, affirmations and motivations, like, across it. And some of them, like, Jeremy did all the work. Like, I was the one who picked out the motivations, and I'm like, let's do this picture. But he was so good at, like, pairing the affirmations to the perfect picture. Like, some of them are amazing. You can go to meditationsforvillains.tumblr.com to check it out if you want. But we got to really ramp that up again. It was kind of one of those things where, like, we did it. For like a month and it was awesome. And then we're both like, oh, we have other stuff to do. Sorry. So, yeah. So, I'm really excited to make a new project. Let's do this. That's inspiring to other people, but also mostly to us.
Yeah, just us. I mean, you and the rest of everyone whose lives we can enrich with our art.
That's right. But speaking of making stuff and then copywriting it and trademarking it. So today, Taylor Swift, the news came out that Taylor Swift trademarked the sick beat, along with a couple of other phrases from her album. The sick beat was the big one. And then also Party Like It's 1989, Nice to Meet You, Where You Been. And then 'Cause We Never Go Out of Style could show you incredible things. Like, so basically, like, different phrases from her songs she trademarked, which we've talked at length about how much we love Taylor Swift on here, but that is a bullshit move. And, like, trademarking this sick beat when, like, that was probably the worst part of Shake It Off, like, that was stupid.
It's insane. I don't understand why they even let people trademark phrases.
No.
That's baloney. You can't
trademark the fucking English dictionary. Remember when Paris Hilton wanted to trademark That's Hot? And, like, everybody just kind of laughed at her?
But now, it's like, I think she should do it now. Why can't she? She needs to be able to trademark That's Hot.
Yeah.
Because, seriously.
And, like, somebody wrote another article where they're just like, you just can't make, like, it's to license everything so that, like, people can't make, like, guitar straps and removable tattoos and, like, all this other stuff from all these phrases. Because I do remember when Beyonce came out with that album and a bunch of people made t-shirts of Woke Up Like This or Flawless and stuff like that. But like, but there's also the part of me where it's like, you want it to go viral. You want it to like be a big deal. Like, don't be a bitch. And like, I don't know. I'm not calling Taylor Swift a bitch. I'm calling like the whole like idea of trademarking like specific phrases that like you pulled from other people's conversations and from common popular vernacular to write your songs, and now you're trying to trademark it.
Yeah, it's just such a weird move.
Yeah.
It's like, who's even, like, it feels like that's the kind of thing that someone, like a publicist or some marketing people or whatever, were like, oh, you should trademark that. And it's just like, fuck.
Yeah. You know, and I wonder about that, too, where, like, if it says Taylor Swift, and it really just means, like, her record label. Because it's kind of the same thing when they took all of Taylor Swift's stuff off of streaming services like Spotify. Like, I don't know if that was a person. I mean, not saying that she doesn't have control over her own career, but I don't know if that was necessarily a personal decision of Taylor or under advisement from, you know,
her label.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I still think that was a shitty thing. Like, I still think she should keep her stuff on streaming and make it available to people who love her music. But, yeah, I don't know.
I understand. I mean, why artists do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I mean, you're still getting paid, though. Like, that's the thing that people don't understand. Like, every time I listen to a song on Spotify, that artist gets paid for it. And the more that I listen to it, the more that they get paid. So I guess that's the thing that missed. And I don't know much about other streaming services. But with Spotify, like, I mean, they make sure that, like, the more that people are listening to your music, if you're Taylor Swift, like, people are listening to your music all the time. So it's not like she's not making any money. Yeah. She's just making it less accessible for people.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And in this day and age, like, I just feel like that's a poor move. So, mm-hmm. It was, like, people who, Missy Elliott, who, when her CD came out right at, like, the advent of, help me out here. What was, like, the first one?
Napster. Oh, Napster.
Ooh. Yeah. So if I put it into my computer hard drive, I couldn't download it because they put a control on it. But then MP3s became a big deal. So, like, with that CD, like, I couldn't download it to my MP3, so, like, I no longer listen to it. You know what I mean? It's doing those things where, like, you're trying to, like, cut people off at the arms, but what you really end up doing is just hurting yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, I'm still kind of on the fence about all that stuff because, I mean, I still have some excessive, like, illegal listening guilt.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just waiting for them to, like, bang, 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 you lost $300,000.
Oh, my God. And that was in Minnesota, too.
I know.
Where they really got that woman. That's such bullshit. I don't know. I don't know. We can make a whole podcast about the recording
that whole
industry,
thing is, but, yeah, I don't do any of that illegal shit.
No.
No.
No. Mm-hmm. But I do remember that when people were doing it, a lot of it was because the price of CDs were becoming astronomical.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was ridiculous. So it was one of those things, too, where it's like, we're not going to buy your CDs if you're trying to gouge us. And, like, yeah, like, people should be paid for the art that they make. Like, when it comes to movies and stuff like that, too. Like, I don't pirate. Like, I want to pay people for their work. But there is a point where, like, that's reasonable and a point where it's not.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, movie ticket prices are bullshit. So I do Redbox. You know what I mean?
Well,
but
yeah.
I still pay for it.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the nice thing about having those options. Like, Redbox is awesome for that.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, even, like, sometimes Amazon Prime and that stuff's still a lot cheaper than, like, buying the movie ticket at the time. So,
right.
You know, so, like, not only are the ticket prices high, but I managed a movie theater for, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
And the concession stand prices are fucking mental.
Yeah. I listened to it wasn't a podcast, but it was a whole show. It might have been on NPR about how actually the cost of popcorn is what drives the ticket sales. And what drives, like, the overall pricing of it. It was a really interesting thing about how, like, when the price of corn fluctuates and, like, most of the profit margin is from popcorn. So, I don't know. I'll see if I can pull up the article, but it was pretty freaking amazing.
Well, yeah, considering, you know, how much they sell popcorn for, the amount that it costs to put that fucking lacquer garbage fake butter monster goo. Which is delicious.
It's delicious. I really want to go to a movie right now,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. Put that on there and then, like, however many kernels of fucking corn. Fucking $8.
It's fucking ridiculous.
How about I eat $8 and bring in a bag of microwave popcorn, you fucks? See you in hell.
It's gonna, like, rebrand our podcast as, like, two cranky chicks.
Yeah.
Complaining about the price of popcorn.
Oh, my God.
And that goddamn Taylor Swift.
Can you imagine when I'm old? gonna be terrible. It's cold in here. It's too hot in here. Where is my hat?
Where's my popcorn?
Where's my popcorn? Bring me my pills and a beer.
Speaking of popcorn and movies, though, I'm super excited to see Cinderella, which Dude, you and I are going to.
Yeah, we're going to have a girl party. Mm-hmm. Should we dress up in crazy old lady batshit, like, princess dresses? And yes. be like, oh, the Cinderellas.
See, the thing that, like, I'm sad about is that if I were still in school, like, elementary to high school, like, I would have died over movies like this. Like, Cinderella, Into the Woods, Yeah, all yeah. the other Snow White and the Huntsman, like all those movies were so like up my alley back then. And now they're still up my alley. Like I have no shame in being a 30-something woman who's like Cinderella, I can't wait to see that shit. But
yeah, it looks
yeah.
great.
Yeah, looks awesome.
We want to talk about the Cinderella Bachelor?
Yeah, you want
to? Or do
we want
to stay on track?
No, let's go with the flow, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I'm feeling the flow.
Are you feeling the flow?
Something feeling my flow. So, in the club.
In the clear. So in case people don't know, ABC is part of Disney's holdings. So every season or so, whenever Disney has a new family type film coming out, they somehow manage to make one of the Bachelor dates all about this like new preview of this awesome movie. And like at first, like they try to be like really slick about it of like, oh, do a competition, then you win a prize. Oh, it's a movie date. Oh, look, it's a Brave. Like you guys could see Brave before anybody else. Yeah. And now they're just like straight up like, fuck, like we're going to do a promotion of Cinderella during this episode. So get
ready for it. You're going to be a princess.
Right. Yep. So this week's Bachelor, one of the dates was, it was centered around meeting Chris's three sisters and interviewing like certain girls of the house,
and they split them up, right?
So there was a bunch of girls that went on a group date, and so when those girls were on a group date, the other girls were the ones who got interviewed by the sisters.
Yeah,
and the sisters. It was interesting that it was like three sisters too, but anyways, so that didn't have anything to do with it, but
whatever. Conspiracies.
So they ended up picking this girl Jade, who I really like, and I think she's really sweet and really shy. Jade is a little bit notorious this season because she has done full nude spreads that came all over the internet when people found out that she was going to be on The Bachelor and who she was. And I think she might have done one or two of those like Playboy, like, oh, I'm in my bedroom and a camera just happens to be here while I'm taking off all my clothes. Like one of those okay. like videos.
We need to look into that further.
Yeah. Some people have said that she was a stripper and she did porn. No, she hasn't done any of that. Like, I think she just modeled nude. But she also created an organic cosmetics company. So whatever you got to do to launch your business, I don't care. But anyway, so she interviewed with the sisters and they loved her because, like, she's a lovable girl.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So she had, like, a surprise where a team of stylists, a.k.a., like, her fairy godmother, came and it brought her into a room that was filled with, like, princess dresses and shoes and jewelry and all this stuff. And she got to pick her dress and then try on her shoes, and she got to keep her shoes, which were Louboutins.
Oh, they were so pretty.
They were amazing. And then she also got to keep Neil Lane jewelry, mm-hmm. like all diamond jewelry.
Diamond earrings, those are really pretty.
Yeah, it was amazing.
She can wear them to her wedding, to Chris.
That's right. I don't think it's going to happen. But so, and then her showing up was supposed to be a surprise because Chris wasn't going to be told who was picked. So she shows up, and it's totally like a princess-themed date.
And he makes her, like, walk down the stairs twice.
Yeah, like, a huge set of stairs yeah. that, like, first she has to walk up them, and they dance to, oh, no, during the, when the stylist was, like, fitting her, and she's like, and then I want to show you, like, where I got all my inspiration from for all these dresses. And, of course, it was, like, a clip of, like, yeah. Cinderella. And, like, Jade's like, oh, that's great. Like, it was so dumb. But then during the date, they danced in front of a full orchestra while, like, the movie played or whatever. And, like, it looks good, but it was just – it's so, like – yeah. It was cheesy and non-subtle, but the date was kind of cute. But then, like, she literally had to, like, run down the stairs in her brand-new Louboutins because it was past midnight. Oh my and it was God. Just, like, fucking dumb. Like, you know, stuff like that. And I'm like, this is so stupid. Then one of the girls lost her shit because she's like, this should have been my date. No, it shouldn't have.
I'm the princess here.
She's the Kardashian lookalike who literally is like, I was really excited to do my Kardashian look tonight. She's crazy. She's also one of the virgins in the house, too. This show is getting crazy and crazier every season. But yeah, she literally threw a fit because this princess date was everything that she's ever dreamed of. And so if Chris actually knew her well enough, he would have known that this should have been her date. Well, tough shit. You were already gone on a group date. So yeah. Shut up.
She was uncomfortable. It was just really uncomfortable to watch.
She's crazy. And she's so emotional. And like, I need to get better about being like, she's crazy. But like, she's so emotional and so like kind of batshit about
stuff. Delusional?
Delusional. Yes. So like when I say crazy, I don't mean like there's another girl who left and she made headlines because like she had really erratic behavior. Ashley S.
Oh, so she made they reported her that and then reported her, but
they deported her out of the show.
They reported her. I mean, like they did like
oh yeah, there's tons of coverage on how crazy she was. Yeah, but like with her like. Instead of calling her crazy, like, I literally think she had a psychotic break. And, like, it wasn't – and I got really pissed when one of the girls kept making fun of her because I'm like, this isn't funny. Like, it's not – I don't know. It just – it wasn't funny to me to watch that because I'm just like, no, like, this girl is either on psychotropic medication or she's literally, like, losing it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it wasn't funny. It was, like, unnerving and kind of scary. Mm-hmm. And then no one was really, like –
No one was really taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was another thing that I was really, I don't know. And, like, Chris was visibly, like, freaked out and uncomfortable.
Yeah. You think he would have said something.
No, but he won't because he's a douche.
Yeah.
But he's not, well, he's a doofus. I need to watch what I say. I need to watch how I talk about people.
He's a doof.
He's a doofus.
You doof. Funny doof. You cute doof.
He doesn't move his mouth when he talks. Like, I finally realized what it was. Like, at first it was like he has no facial effect. No. Like, he literally will not move his mouth. Like, the words are coming out, but you don't see his mouth move.
Like, his lips aren't...
Like, yeah, he's just like, and I was really excited. And
yeah.
Then I was really scared. And I think this date is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I just think she's a really great girl. I hope we go to the distance. It's just like, oh my God.
Well, yeah, and he just doesn't get excited. Like, right. He doesn't get, like, really enthusiastic in his voice area.
Yeah. In his vocal area. There's no excitement. But the week before Jimmy Kimmel was on, and I finally got to watch it, and it was so effing awesome.
Good.
It was the best. And, like I told you, they finally, Jimmy Kimmel was planning all the dates for the episode, and they finally brought the couple to Costco for an afternoon.
Oh, God, I wonder if I deleted it. I'm going to have to watch it.
Yeah.
I still have it.
It's so funny. Yeah, there's so many moments where I'm just like, please come back every week. And he made them do an amazing jar. So anytime somebody said amazing, like, there would be a little ding on the show, and then people would have to add a dollar to the jar. It was awesome.
They're like, we don't have any money. We don't have any money here. We can't even use our phones.
No. That is true. It's like, who does have money there? Because they literally take everything away from you.
Yeah. Even your dignity.
Yes. Especially dignity. So, yeah. So, that was The Bachelor. I'm still kicking it in my Bachelor Fantasy Football League.
Dude, I'm so stoked for you.
There's been a couple of, like, upsets, though. Like, he was only supposed to eliminate 3 girls this week, and he eliminated 4. He sent He-Man Jillian home, so, yeah.
And that needed to happen. Although, sometimes I don't know how things work, and I thought he was just like, this date's not working, I'm not going to give you this rose.
Yeah.
That she just gets to go back to the house, and he could kick her out. He'd kick her off later, but nope, you're done.
No, they literally, like, if you go on a one-on-one, you have to pack your bags. Because then if he's like, I'm not going to give you this rose, I don't think it's going to work, like a producer comes and gets the bags and like she goes back to the hotel for seclusion. So
that's so funny just because like you think you would not be super nervous, girl, that's just talking about yourself when you know this is do or die.
Yeah, it was that date was awkward.
It was so awkward.
Yeah.
Well, plus he's such a doof that he doesn't get visibly like annoyed or hurt, right, or whatever. And he was just like... Okay.
He was just like staring at her. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she started crying when he's like, I just don't feel a connection here. And she's like, but I'm so nervous. No, you weren't. No, you weren't, Jillian.
Yeah, go do some pull-ups and get the fuck out of here. Sorry, Jillian.
I just
Jillian.
Didn't like her. Not because like, and I was mad because like there's so many awesome like powerhouse women who lift and do CrossFit and are really strong women. But she is just that person that like exaggerates all those stereotypes by being like incredibly aggressive, incredibly pushy, just like not gracious at all when she would win a race or a competition.
Yeah.
Like it was just, and she was just like, she was a bitch. Like she wasn't nice. I never saw her say a nice thing about anybody else. Yeah. So, yeah.
And, well, she just doesn't have any self-awareness at the end of the day.
No. I will really miss the black bar that they kept over her butt the entire show. Because she wore, like, super short shorts. And then her, like, bikini was, like half G-string, half bikini bottom. So they would literally just, like, follow her around with a black bar. And after all, it became a joke. And I'm like, God damn it. Sometimes I love the show.
Oh, that's funny. They should have put googly eyes.
Yeah.
Auga! Googly eyes.
So anyway, sorry, everybody, for the... Yeah. That's it for The Bachelor.
That's okay. We have... Some local, like, we don't normally do, like, local coverage of things.
Not really. We kind of stay out of that stuff.
Do you want to save our rage, or do you want to just start raging on and...
I think we need to talk about it. It needs to be talked about.
All right.
I literally spent all afternoon talking about this on Minspeak, too, so...
I know. I saw that. I was like, I can't... Minspeak, there's a, you know, sometimes you have groups on Facebook where you talk about stuff for a lot of comments.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I don't even know how to put my toe in this pool.
It was crazy because so for everybody who's listening, I used to be part of this message board called Minspeak, which was started by Rex Sorgatz. And then it's been like bought and sold a couple of different times. And then it just kind of like laid dying after the advent of Twitter and Facebook. Like nobody really did it anymore.
Yeah.
And then I think it was earlier this fall, I started the Minspeak Facebook group just because I'm like, this would be a perfect platform for it.
Yeah, let's do
this. To revive it. And it's taken off. Like, I'm really excited that it's still up and running. So then today, I missed the whole Barb Abney stuff because I was at the Sex, Sleep, and Emotions thing. Yeah. And it wasn't online. And so I saw a lot of action happening on Facebook and Twitter when I got home. And so this morning I was like, so do we still want to talk about this? And 300 comments later, I guess we did. I guess everybody still needed to get their feels out about what happened.
Yeah, I mean, what we're talking about is...
Sorry.
No, I don't mean like that. We're talking about the big mistake that the current fucking made by letting Barb Abney go. You're done. You're fucking done.
Yeah, so anybody who's not local and doesn't live in Minneapolis, The Current is a huge public radio station here in Minneapolis.
Yeah,
and
it's like a rock and... Like,
yeah, it plays like a whole variety of different music, but it's definitely like for more like alternative jams.
Yeah.
And Barb Abney is very well known in the community.
And she's the afternoon host.
Yep, she's the afternoon host, and she is a really visible face at a lot of like The Current events, and she'll go to just like a lot of different other local events too. And
yeah,
like people know and like her a lot. The timing of this firing was very poor constructed as well, because Current just had their 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
And they did a whole series of events and different things. And Barb Abney was front and center at all of those things.
Yeah, exactly. And then, oh, now that that's done.
Yeah, you're fired.
Let's do this shitty thing.
Yeah. So people lost their shit. Like, they lost their fucking cool about this on social media yesterday.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and the reasons given, and everybody by now should know this, that, like, you can't be public about why you fire people. People who are fired can't be public about why they're fired.
Yeah.
And coworkers cannot be public about this. Like, there's whole, like, tons of different legal circumstances that surround it. So Barb Abney has basically just said, you know, I love my job. And that's kind of it. And
thanks for your support.
Yep. And The Current said that it was a programming issue of like they're changing just different programming bullshit. So, but it, to me, it was very, I don't know. You should speak more about this because you're more involved with the music community and Barb Abney and that stuff.
Oh, barely. But I don't know. It just, I don't, well, no one really understands what they mean by a programming decision. And at the end of the day, I mean, the only thing you can ever think about in a situation like this is money.
It just seems really interesting, and I said this on the Minspeak board, that a thing that is, like, mostly, if not wholly, supported by listener supporters would fire somebody that many of those listener supporters know and love.
Well,
like,
yeah.
She's probably the most well-known. I mean, Mary Lucia.
I think Mary is probably the number one known person there. But then
but in terms
Barb
of,
is next, I
right.
think.
In terms of people that – or in terms of DJs that people have a personal relationship with, though,
like,
I just feel like Barb Abney is so much more visible.
Well, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
She's more connected and out.
Right. I don't know.
I feel weird
saying. To me, it felt like a very, it felt like a wrong decision. And also, it felt really just weird when it's like, give us all your money and we're going to fire this person that you really love listening to.
Well, yeah. It'll make their fundraising goals interesting.
So many people have been like, I'm canceling my membership. Somebody, Carolyn Royce, on your Facebook, she like made one of the perfect comments ever where she's like, Current just feasted on all of our listener goodwill with their 10th anniversary celebration and fundraisers or whatever and pledges, and then fired like our favorite person ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just the wrong time. I mean, I love Barb, but it was also just the wrong time to get rid or make any changes at all.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely poor choice in timing.
Well, yeah, especially like the current, let's celebrate the current. Current. Everything's going on. And then like, oh, hey, did you like this person that was everywhere? She's gone.
Yeah.
What?
But please keep giving us your money and please supporting us. Yeah. I don't give to the current. I give to NPR as a whole. This was part of our discussion too. Like, ever since I moved to Minneapolis in 2006, like, I've tried to, like, get into the current and I've tried to, like, be a fan of the current. And it's just, there's just a couple things about it that just, it's not my jam. I value the current's place in our community. Like, I think it's awesome that we have a radio station like that. But, like, it's just never been, like, and part of it too is like there's so many people who are so like rabid about the current that turns me off a little bit too, where it's just like, okay, we get it. But there's, yeah, I don't know. I find like the playlists to like the weird twists and turns of the playlist to be unnerving. I find some of the talk to be like, I don't give a shit, like play music. I don't know. There's just different things and I know people are going to disagree with me and I don't care. But like I prefer other... I love public radio and everything that it stands for, but the current has just never been like my listening thing of choice.
Yeah.
But even that said, like somebody who isn't a huge fan of the current and isn't a supporter of current, like even I was like, this was a bad move.
Yeah. Big mistake.
Big mistake.
In the words of Vivian from Pretty Woman. Yeah. I just brought it there.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I mean, for me, in terms of radio, I mean, the current is my number one preset, but basically, you know, my presets are weird. I like a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I do
too. So it's like, okay, I've got the current on the first, and then KDWB, because I like really good poppy garbage.
I ain't even gonna front. I love me some KDWB.
Hey, that's okay. And then I have the worst, probably, not the worst, whatever, I don't know why... Doesn't matter. Sometimes I have issues with how much I like country music. I'm saying I've got two country presets. Yeah,
it's good music.
Because you never know when you can be like, go, they're playing the same song at the same time. Ha 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 ha.
It's got great vocals. Country music has great vocals and great songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I'll never get sick of KQ. And Cool 108 is weird as fuck. Because it's not oldies, but...
Yeah.
They don't front. They don't say they're oldies anymore.
That's true.
But I miss the oldies.
I like to stream WOJB, the afternoon show. I like to stream that live, WOJB 88.9 FM. I used to be a DJ on there, so that's a personal thing. It's out of Hayward.
Okay.
But that's like teeny tiny public radio station with a huge reputation. Like their news coverage is ridiculous. Their music programs are awesome. Like they fully depend on – well, no, they don't. There's a couple of people who are employees of WOJB, but a lot of what their music programming is from volunteers. And it's from volunteers that get to come in and pick all their own playlists and all their own music choices. And some of them, like, there's a women's program, I think, on Tuesday afternoons where it's – you're supposed to, like, put an emphasis on women's music, like women artists and things like that. So that's cool. But it just, like – and Jeff Jones is – he's become a good friend of mine, but even before that happened, his afternoon show is fucking legit. Like, he has turned me on to more new music than anybody else. Like, he is the person who plays, like, the new song that you love that everybody else is going to love before you hear it on the current or nice. Before you hear it anywhere else. And he's just, like, a legit, really good DJ.
Nice. It's kind of really like cool KFAI guy. A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, like... Yeah, and so today when we were talking about this, I'm like, I really gotta listen to this again. And I turned on. It was awesome. I was just like, God, I forget like what good music is on here. So, yeah, that's what I listen to.
Yeah, it's great having so many options when you can stream radio stations from all over the world.
Yeah, yeah, and really check out really cool stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, poor move, the current, but it'll be kind of interesting to see where Barb Abney lands and what she does next.
She's going to do great. I mean, yeah. Outrage aside, I mean, she's going to do great things.
Yeah.
I hope she knows that.
She'll land on her feet. Oh, I'm sure she does. I will be surprised if she hasn't already accepted a couple offers. So.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, that's what's shaking. It's a shaking in the local scene.
Yeah.
In the local news.
In local news. Yeah, fuck that. Let's move on to stuff that we don't have to answer for if we're going to be rude about it. We watched part of the SAG Awards together.
We sure did. I recorded some of the parts that we missed, too. So how? We could always, because it was on right afterwards.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I got real excited. I know what happened.
I still missed, like, the very beginning of it, but, man. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. What'd you think about the SAG Awards?
I thought it was kind of boring, actually. That being said, the fucking Carrie Fisher introducing her mom was so uncomfortable.
I had to leave the room.
She hadn't, like, probably, she looked like she hadn't washed her fucking hair in, like, 4 days. She's wearing, actually, quite a lovely dress, I thought.
Yeah.
Quite a lovely dress. Someone's grandma right now. But she just had a great dress. I mean, but... someone forgot to take off her fucking transitions lenses. God. That makes me crazy.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. It makes me really mad. Oh, and then she just kept going on and on and on. And then
so bad.
And then she was totally making it about her. And it was...
Every single time she would come back to her. Yep.
And like, whatever. That is the relationship they have.
Yeah.
And then Debbie comes up and she's kind of like nuts too. She's like, I'm like a nerdy person. I'm thinking in my brain.
Yeah, she would.
Yeah, she's just like, my favorite movie I ever did was this movie that I already said was my favorite movie.
It was amazing.
She's great, though. I mean, I love Debbie Reynolds. What she's done for, like, archiving, like, movie fashions is unreal.
Yeah.
But she's a little cray, and therefore Carrie is also a little cray. Debbie Reynolds looked lovely.
Yeah.
What is it about older women, though, and their makeup always looks terrible?
It does. I don't know if it's their skin or if it's the quality of the product they're using.
It's got to totally be the agree. Skin. Maybe yeah. It's got to be, like, old lady skin.
It might be old lady skin.
But just because, like, whatever, I don't, she has probably had some plastic surgery some time ago.
Yeah.
But she didn't overdo it.
No. She still looks really natural.
Yeah, she looks great.
Just never forget watching the Star Wars holiday special during a particular moment when, like, Carrie Fisher admits to the fact that she was completely coked out of her brain during the making of that movie.
Oh, I'm sure.
And there's, like, one moment where, like, she stumbles forward. It is so, like... yeah, it's like not laughing about drug addiction, but it was one of those things where it's like stumble.
Ugh. Oh my God. And that is why I can never do coke.
Yeah. Well, and then they did, so every year they have the Star Wars holiday special at Bryant Lake Bowl, and it's a fundraiser for Toy for Tots. And this guy, Clint, does the posters for it every year. He's an amazing artist. But the one year that I went, they did Princess Leia as the poster. And then on her side bun, it's, you just see the side profile, but on the side bun it looks like it's snow on top of her hair bun, but really it's coke.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
It's so, and like there's like different little nuggets in the posters, I guess, for all of them. But
wow,
yeah, good sense of humor.
That's amazing.
Yeah it was, I don't know, I've never seen Postcards from the Edge, so
we should watch that together, because yeah. I've never seen it. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces, and it came out like when I was totally like, I could have probably got my grandpa to bring me.
Yeah.
You know, my mom would never take me to the movies. My grandpa would do like whatever I wanted, you know, like buy me hamsters and my mom made him return them, you know, shit like that. And then he took me to see Pretty Woman.
Aww. I mean, yeah, you know, my mom let me watch that too. I was like,
Yeah. Well, it didn't. He was fine with it. I don't know what I mean. But every time my grandpa would take me to the movies, he'd pack, like, sandwiches and cans of pop and, like, Ziploc bags of cookies. It was really nice.
That's awesome. I had a boss once that made us go to Subway, and I thought we were going to eat there. So he's like, no, we'll get our sandwiches to go. So I was like, oh, we're going to go to a park. No, we ended up having, like, he ended up smuggling them into the movie theater during Legally Blonde, and I ordered the crab, the seafood crab one.
The seafood combo or some shit.
Yeah, so we're literally sitting there eating our Subway sandwiches in the movie theater. I'm so embarrassed. I'm like, we're going to get kicked out. And I felt so bad for everybody else in the theater. But, Maurice is just like, he's that guy where he's like, what? What are they going to do? We're doing this. Like, yeah. Yes, no. Like, he
hurry up and
care.
Eat your food. Yeah. They catch you, you're going to have to throw it away.
Yeah, and, like, he is that friend, too, where, like, if I was like, no, I'm not going to do this, like, I would never hear the end of it. You know what I mean? We'd be like, what? Why are you not eating your food?
Because I'm afraid. When I managed movie theaters, we could do that. We go get Taco Bell and, like, sit in a movie.
Fuck, yes.
It was amazing.
It was so fun. And I feel like managing a movie theater is the perfect job for you.
Oh, it was not. Oh. But time-wise and dealing with the people and, like, starting the movies and doing all the... Mm-mm.
No.
I will never go back to that.
Sorry.
Mm-mm. I would sell, like, tickets at the box office.
Yeah.
That's, like, the cushiest fucking job there.
Yeah.
You don't have to clean anything.
Do you have to hear people complain about how expensive it is, though?
Probably, but I don't care. It's not my fucking money. It's like, oh, why don't you complain to me about how much ticket prices are? So, like, it's going to my pocket. Shut right. the fuck up. Write a fucking letter. Get off my back.
Write a letter to Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt. They're the ones who are making all the money.
Yeah. And AMC and Carmike. Fuck y'all. AMC can eat a dick. I want to be a movie star just to be like, fuck you, AMC. Fuck you. I suck. Why can't I have two earrings in one ear, you dicks? They wouldn't. They wouldn't let you like wear more than one earring. You couldn't have like unnaturally colored hair, which what? Whatever, but it was
why
so
else
dumb.
Would you be working in a movie theater unless
I know.
You do those things.
And they made you wear polo shirts. Not when I was a regular employee, though. Like, I was a manager by the time they bought my company out.
Okay.
But if I would have been like, oh, they're switching over, you don't have to wear this polo shirt, I'd have been like, fuck you, I'm out. Jim Paulson does not wear polo shirts. I hate them.
This goes against my values. Yeah, I don't like them either. I won't wear them.
They're so lazy. There's just something...
I don't know. And I think, too, when you are a well-endowed woman in the Bristol area, polo shirts are pretty much the most unflattering thing that you can wear.
Yeah, I agree.
There's something about the way that they're cut where it's just like, here, look at these huge boobs staring right at you in the face.
Yeah, and it's just like, guess what? This shirt also doesn't lack gravity either. I don't like them on dudes either, though. I'm not saying, I'm just, They should all be banned.
I don't know.
Mm-mm. Lazy.
I can't say it's a preference, but I don't know.
It is the opposite of a preference for me.
Well, wonderful.
Well, wonderful. Hey, we're super fucking stoked about one thing in particular.
Oh my god.
Ghostbusters! With their periods.
Jen's been waiting for 2 days to make that joke.
No, it just came to me.
That's brilliant.
Yay.
I am so, 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 so excited.
I think it's going to be fucking amazing. Although I'm going to set my brain from now until then to be like, I'll give it a chance.
No way.
So, no, because I don't want to like build it up either.
Right.
Maybe I just need to go back and read some more Brené Brown, be a little vulnerable to it being awesome.
Right. To setting those expectations. Visualize you sitting in the movie theater and being like, this is the most amazing thing I've
ever seen.
I think, okay. Yes. Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy. Genius. But the inclusion of Leslie Jones in it was what, like, that was the first face I saw. I didn't even notice Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy
neither.
At first. I was just like, they put Leslie Jones in it? This is going to be amazing.
Oh, my God. I was so happy. I was like, Leslie Jones.
She is our favorite new cast member on SNL.
I love her.
She's so amazing. Sorry. And, yeah, and then Kate McKinnon, who is also an
She's
SNL
always
genius.
Great. She's always just fucking
her
bomb.
Justin Bieber. Oh my god, her like spoofs on Calvin Klein's ad.
This
with
is
Justin
where
Bieber.
My pee-pee goes.
It's so amazing. And the thing is that like it's so spot on. Like I watched the actual ones and I was just like, oh my, like he, yes, he, I don't know. There's so much I can say, but there's some stuff I'm afraid to say because I don't want to like offend anybody. He looks like a woman lesbian. He looks like
a woman lesbian.
I feel like my dad just like came out of my face right there and just like said something. No, he looks like who is Lindsay Lohan's girlfriend? What's her face?
Oh, Samantha Ronson.
Yes. And I am attracted to Samantha Ronson. And I am not a lesbian, but I am very attracted to her. But yeah, I'll never forget somebody pointing out the fact that like Justin Bieber looks like an androgynous lesbian.
Well, and he has for a long time.
Yeah.
It's the wool.
Thanks for sharing.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so then when Kate McKinnon does her sketches as Justin Bieber, it's perfect.
She's so good.
Yeah.
She's, like, amazing at all the things she does.
Yeah.
Seriously, I bet she's really good at cooking, and I bet she's a really good driver, and I bet that she's really good at board games.
And she probably makes her bed, like, the way that they do in hotels.
Yeah, she does everything right.
Yeah.
And then if she'd hear me saying that, she'd be like, you're fucking dumb.
But yeah, so that's exciting.
I'm so stoked. No, Leslie Jones, all the fucking way.
Yeah.
I basically read it for how my brain works now and what I'm into. My brain saw it like this. Leslie Jones, Kate McKinnon, Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
I saw Kristen Wiig last. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I do too.
Like, I love Kristen Wiig.
I do too.
I love them all.
Yeah.
But I saw the other, I was just like, what?
Yeah.
It's going to be so amazing for them.
I love the combo of like two very established women comedic actors with two like SNL. They're kind of not really, I mean, Kate McKinnon isn't necessarily a newbie to SNL, but Leslie Jones is. But like, they're both kind of like newbies in terms of like, establishing a film presence as comedic actors.
I don't even know what Kate McKinnon's been in film-wise.
I feel like she's been like a couple of small like supporting roles.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, you really haven't seen her. You haven't seen her in a movie of this scale, for sure.
And I think she's going to be fucking huge.
And she's going to knock it out of the park.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Like, she is ripe for this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
She's going to get so much pussy.
Yes, a lot.
I hope she does. I mean, unless she has a girlfriend that she really loves, and then she'll be true to her, and it's okay. I love her too.
Okay, so yeah, so I'm very excited about that. That'll be another movie that we're all gonna go see, and it's gonna be awesome. And we're gonna eat overpriced, latex butter covered popcorn, and
I'm gonna
it's gonna
cry
be awesome.
Real tears of fucking chick comedy empowerment.
Yeah. It's going to be like when I saw Avengers for the first time in the theater and just being like, oh my God, I just can't believe this amazingness exists in the world.
Yeah, and then you'll cry a single tear of butter.
Of salty, delicious popcorn butter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Am I holding you back on any
topics? Nope, I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing. So the other thing that's been going on that I am so excited about, and I can't even believe it's a thing. At first I thought it was a joke, and then I looked at it, I'm like, this is not enough a joke. So Jeff Bridges came out with a thing called sleep tapes, and they are recordings that are supposed to help you sleep better.
Are they on like YouTube, or where are they?
They're on Squarespace, and hold on, I'm trying to pull this up, but Squarespace has an overlay on it. Okay, so 100% of the retail price from each album sold goes directly to No Kid Hungry, excluding the shipping and service fees. And you can actually just pay what you want, I think. You can pay what you like, and then 100% of your donation goes to No Kid Hungry. But
can you just download it digitally, or you actually need to get a copy? You have to get a copy.
No, you can download it digitally. I don't know if you can actually get... I think, yeah, you can do both. You can do a signed copy box set.
What?
But it's an auction.
Okay.
So you can do that. But the artwork is amazing. If you, like, I don't know if this is part of the album, but, like, the artwork, this.
Whoa.
I want that on a black velvet painting.
Oh, my God.
We'll put it on the blog post.
Basically, it's, like, multiple profiles of his head. Think of it, if you could, probably, of there's that Stones record. It's like a greatest hit Stones record where it's like multiple like profiles and like in the mind.
Yeah.
And then in his mind, he's sleeping like a young child.
Yeah. And this time for real, like I know I always say I'm going to post it to our blog post, but I will post the photo of this for the blog post because it's so fucking awesome. But my friend Carrie Tribble, who's a tarot card reader, she was the one who posted about this. And at first I was like, haha, Jeff Bridges. And then I listened to it and I'm like, oh my God. Like,
did you think she was kidding?
No, I didn't. But I was like, what? Because there's this thing called, I think it's like integrative recording or whatever, that Jet Canfield, who I love, he's a like motivational author. He's the chicken soup for the soul yeah. guy. So he did one with a couple other people who are kind of into the whole intuitive community or whatever. But it's a way that you can record where you hear it in different places. So like you'll hear one voice here and one voice here, and then another voice feels like it's coming from the top of your head. It's trippy. It's really cool. But it's like a meditation, but it's for sleep. So you're supposed to put it on while you're trying to fall asleep, and it's like it integrates certain thoughts and affirmations while you're sleeping. It's supposed to be very powerful. Powerful. Yeah. But yeah, so I listened to a little bit of the Jeff Bridges one, and I was like, this is kind of neat. We'll play a track at the end of the podcast because you guys need to hear it.
I think so. We should start listening to it at the same time and then report back to how it's changing our lives.
Okay.
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah. That's something we could both stick to.
I don't know if I can listen to it when I go to sleep, though, because like the introduction makes me want to like laugh.
Okay.
But yeah. But maybe you should listen to it and then you report back.
Okay.
Yeah. I just know that I wouldn't be able to like go to sleep. I know. I'd be too distracted by Jeff Bridges' silky, silky trippy voice.
I already have a subliminal listening routine before bed, but I should switch it up.
Yeah.
It's wave sounds, but it's telling me that I should do positive self-talk or have self-confidence or like not be stressed out, but really, I think it's training me to be like a military person. Like, you'll just hear the word like banana elephant pants, and I'd be like, kill!
Oh my God, that's awesome. Yeah, so that was my big news, and that happened today. So I was very excited about that.
The design is beautiful on dreamingwithjeff.com.
Seriously, it's amazing. The
main page is fantastic. Like,
yeah, and if you're listening to this, you can go on facebook.com/AmberL Carter, and I put it on there too. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Stoked. Stoked, dude.
Yeah. So exciting.
Yeah. Well, I'm, you know, I like football, but I feel like sometimes I like football more for like the drama and the personal stories and the excuse to eat dip, you know? That being said, the Super Bowl is on Sunday.
Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo.
I'm super stoked. Okay. Because what gets more fucking masculine than the Super Bowl and football than Katy Perry doing the halftime show? That being said, I am hella excited.
It's going to be a fucking awesome show.
I can't wait to see her boobs. She always has to like...
Yeah, she always has her boobs out.
Always good boobs.
Get them boobs stuff out, Katy Perry. We like them.
Yeah, like there's a shield, like a force field. It's like, fuck you, gravity. It's probably like a lot of finagling and taping and shapewear, and she's probably very uncomfortable.
Maybe. You never know. You never know.
Or her tits are magical. That is fine.
Katy Perry, that's the name of her new album. My tits are magical. Tits are magical.
Magical tits. Pew, 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 pew.
So many costume and dancer teens that could go with that.
It's like my tits are magical and laser nipples. Laser nips.
Laser nips.
Laser nips.
I like it. I like it a lot.
And I was pretty happy this week. Well, whatever. People are like, Marshawn Lynch, he's a dick. And I'm like, well, what? I mean, I don't care if he's a dick. But he had this press conference that he had to do because he's in the Super Bowl. Oh, God, that's the worst. You do a press conference because your team's playing in the Super Bowl. That being said, he didn't want to say anything. He shouldn't have to. And at every answer, it was just like, I just came here so I wouldn't get a fine. Oh, so you're really excited to be in the Super Bowl? I'm just here so I don't get a fine. Oh, so you guys had a really good season. You feel like you really deserve to be here? I don't want to get a fine. I'm here because I don't want a fine. Actually, the more I think about it, never mind. I feel like, have I been bulldozing over you today?
No, not at all.
Okay, cool.
No, I don't have anything, like, I don't watch football, and I don't like watch any of this stuff, so, yeah.
I like butts in football pants, and I like when really well-paid athletes fucking cry. It makes me feel emotions just because they're so happy and they're crying.
Yeah.
Unless they lose and they're crying and I'm like, shut up. Don't do that.
I like Super Bowl commercials. I like the food that goes with the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I love Super Bowl food. And I like Super Bowl commercials. I feel like they've been kind of going down the shitter for like the past 10 years. Mm. And then they start playing them fucking a week beforehand.
I know. See, that's not okay. You need to, like, make people watch the Super Bowl. So, like, I remember, yeah, it was, like, 10 years ago that it was, like, the heyday
of
Super Bowl commercials where it was amazing.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's been, like, one or two good ones, and that's it.
What was the internet like 10 years ago?
Probably it not wasn't the, a lot.
Yeah, it's not the playground that it used to, I mean, that it is now.
Yeah. And I think, like, the fear, too, was the fact that, like, if you, because I remember, like, for a couple years, if you didn't see the commercial during the Super Bowl, you didn't know what people were talking about.
Yeah.
Because there was a couple of companies that would, like, change their commercials, and they would only do it for the Super Bowl. Yeah. Whereas now you're going to see it to death.
Yeah. I like that. But then I'm like, yeah, it's entertaining commercials. Get on your commercial game. Commercials.
Yeah. Yeah, commercials. Come on, commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're funny.
I know. Yeah, so, I don't know. Oh, Louis C.K. did a Acme Comedy Club shout-out in his letter to Wired about comedy clubs. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was amazing. People fucking, like, comedians, like, love Acme, and, like, Louis Lee runs a really good club, and it's just, there's just something with that room. I feel like people just want to laugh in that room.
Yeah. I think it's an awesome venue, but I also think, too, we hear a lot about what a great music town this is and, like, how First Ave is awesome. But, like, I feel like people who aren't directly involved in the comedy community have no idea, like, what a great scene it is.
Oh, yeah.
And not just, like, for local people like you, but, like, I listen to podcasts all the time and the comedy podcast, and they're always, like, huge, affectionate, awesome shout-outs to Minneapolis for their comedy scene and, like, how fun it is to, like, play a room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's baller.
Yeah.
We'd be baller.
They love it. They love it here.
Yeah.
There's a couple jokes that they always sell out shows because there's nothing else to do because it's so cold here, but that's kind of true, so.
Yeah, you can't fault them for telling the truth.
Yeah.
But we love. What are you going to go see a show at First Avenue?
No. Are you going to go to Northrop Auditorium to see anything? No. Just kidding. I've never been there. I don't care.
I
have. Never mind. I saw somebody do a rating. That was it.
Broad sweeping statement retracted. Yeah. Girl, we got some games to play here, don't we?
We're doing our shag, marry, kill.
Yeah, we're getting a little towards the end of our evening.
That's right. Well, we're doing really good with time lately.
Yeah, I don't want to say evening because I don't want you guys to know what time we're doing this in our bunker.
It could be early in the morning. We could be doing this right as we wake up.
Yeah. Cuck of that. What? Shut up, Rooster.
All right. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to?
All right, I'll go first. Is that cool?
Yeah. No. Just kidding.
Shut up. I'm laying on my my Screen Actors Guild. Shag, marry, and kill. These were kind of the only dudes.
Okay.
So this worked out really perfectly.
I'm ready.
All right. We got J.K. Simmons. Whiplash fucking ruled. That movie was awesome. I love him. Kevin Spacey.
Okay.
I would bone him. He wouldn't bone me, but, and then Eddie Redmayne, that weird looking elf dude.
You think he's weird looking. God, that's tough. I probably would, I'd probably shag Eddie Redmayne.
Okay.
I would marry J.K. Simmons. And I would, no, I don't know. Maybe, okay, I would kill Eddie Redmayne. He's not that valuable to me. So then, I don't know, it's tough. Because I feel like J.K. Simmons would be an awesome husband. But okay. I also feel like Kevin Spacey's more than just a one-night stand.
Yeah.
I respect him more. And also, if he was like the husband in House of Cards, like, I'd be okay with that.
Be a fun partner.
Yes.
So you're going to kill Eddie Redmayne, huh?
Yep. Sorry, Eddie Redmayne.
Sign of the
cross. You had a good run. You hit a good run. So I'd probably, yeah, I'd probably do J.K. Simmons on the side and then work it with Kevin Spacey for the marriage magic.
That's exactly how I would have played that.
Thank you. Speaking of marriage magic, Frostbird Studios came out with a true love candle. Yeah. It's awesome. It's amazing. I just had to put that in there because I was excited about it.
It's amazing.
Woo woof.
It's amazing.
And Princess Bride, for those of you fools who don't know what I'm talking about. All right. So, sorry. I'm like, oh.
That's okay. That's okay.
Okay. So, mine is comedy. Shag, marry, or kill. Louis C.K., Kevin Hart, or Steve Martin.
Sorry, Steve Martin, you've had a really good life. You're dead.
You're dead.
Really? I'm totally going to fuck Kevin Hart.
Okay.
And I'm totally going to marry Louis C.K.
Oh, I love Louis C.K. I would marry him, too.
And I mean, I would save Steve Martin if I could.
Right.
But I really want to have sex with Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really, really fun.
Yeah, you know, Steve Martin's had a good life.
Well, I just don't think that Steve Martin would be a good lover. I just don't see it. I think that
he's
too funny and cerebral and just. I like older dudes. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I probably would have been like, you know, kill like one of the other guys and figure it out with Steve Martin if it was like I was 13 and it was Parenthood like could come out. Because
yeah.
I love that movie. And who doesn't want to fuck a guy playing the dad on a movie? Girls who don't have a dad. So that's how I feel about that.
All right.
Louis, I chose you. Let's get married.
Oh, I would marry that guy in a heartbeat. I don't care.
Smooch, smooch, smooch. Let me irritate you for the rest of your life.
All right, your turn.
Okay. I'm really proud of this one. All right. So CNN, you know, some websites... all kind of like in this like BuzzFeed world. We're all living in a BuzzFeed world.
Yes.
Pictures, clickety click click click, whatever.
Put some GIFs in there.
Yeah. Fucking GIFs, bitch. That being said, they had one called 50 Celebs Turning 50. And no, this I think you might like this.
It's your face when you're reading that.
It's like diabolical. Okay, so this is back in the day, Bad Boys.
Okay.
Shag, marry, or kill. Number one, Billy Zabka from The Karate Kid. He's turning 50 this year.
Okay.
The evil guy. Charlie Sheen, also turning 50
this
year.
Wait, was Billy...
Billy Zabka...
Was he the sweep the leg guy or was he the instructor?
He was the sweep the leg guy. He was Johnny. No, sweep the...
Shut... Okay. Right? Yep, so that and then Sean Penn. Yep.
No, Charlie Sheen.
Oh, Charlie Sheen?
Whatever, fucking.
Okay,
Sean
Billy
Penn is 1,000 years old.
Billy Zabka,
Charlie Sheen, and Richard Grieco.
You make this so easy for me. So, kill Charlie Sheen, and have a blast doing it. Richard Grieco, I would probably.
God, I don't know. Oh, easy. Fuck you, Amber.
You know what? I would fuck Richard Grieco, and then I would probably marry Billy, okay. Just so I can keep singing Sweep the Leg, Johnny, to him every night.
Sweep your leg.
Sweep my leg. Plus, he's like a normal guy, and he seems kind of fun. And he was so fucking hot when he was younger. I knew I wasn't supposed to root for the bad guy, but I was like, I would fuck that guy.
Yeah, clearly you're not the only person, because on what was it, How I Met Your Mother,
mm-hmm.
like the whole, like a large portion of the last season revolved around William Zabka.
Nice.
Where, like, what's his nuts? Barney considered him the hero of the movie.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah.
Well, that's...
Now I have to watch that show, goddammit.
We did it.
Yay. Oh, no, I still have yours.
Man, look at me trying to wriggle out of that. Thank you for listening to episode 12 of Pizza Rainbow. You get, just kidding.
So, former hosts of SNL this past season, Blake Shelton,
okay,
J.K. Simmons.
Cool, funny. J.K., you popular.
And Chris Pratt. I was going to put Jason Segel in there, but I didn't want to make it impossible for you.
This is hard. Well... That, you know what, I'm going to give it to you because everyone I like quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But Chris Pratt, I'm like, I feel like I can't marry or fuck him because I really love Anna Faris.
In a, we are living in an imaginary world where you can suspend your
belief. I can't live in an imaginary world ever.
He's never met Anna Faris. She doesn't exist.
Okay.
She died in a horrible plane crash when she was 5 years old.
Okay. I am totally going to marry Blake Shelton.
Okay.
Forever and motherfucking always, because we're going to play guitars, sing together, and drink beers, and smoke cigarettes. This is weird. I'm going to fuck the hell out of J.K. Simmons. And Chris Pratt has to die. Sad. This is coming from my heart, unfortunately.
I know. That's sad. J.K. Simmons, you're just not marriage material. You're the guy we take home, and we just don't make a commitment to.
I mean, sorry. At least I didn't kill him. I feel worse about killing Chris Pratt. He's adorable.
I know, he is adorable.
He's the best. He's funny, and he's ripped. And
yeah,
he
that
likes
is,
kids.
That is tough.
I mean, I feel like, by all accounts, I should want to marry him, but...
Yeah, I feel like in that scenario, I would probably have killed J.K. Simmons.
Is real to me.
Blake is hilarious. Yeah, I'd probably fuck Blake and then just marry Chris Pratt.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But there's something about that whole, like... country music lifestyle. I'm just like, yeah, we're married.
Yeah.
We're so married.
See, I would just do him and let him be on his merry way and do what he needs to do.
No, I want to be his woman.
I want to be his woman.
I want to be...
He is hilarious, though.
I want to, like, do all the versions of the old country songs with him and, like, look like a midget next to him because he's tall as hell.
Yeah. Do you feel like we're objectifying men? Should we start mixing it up with some chicks in this game?
Nope. We can.
Maybe we should.
Like all women?
No.
Like man, woman, man.
Like do a mix. Yeah. Be like Leslie Jones, Blake Shelton, and J.K. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Mm.
Anna Faris.
Mm.
We'll play with it, guys. We're gonna polish this game and really bring it next time.
Yeah. You know, I don't know about you guys. But I am super stoked that January is almost over.
Yeah.
Because that means it's February, and then after that is March, and then after that is kind of spring.
Yep, you only got 2 more months to go, guys.
Yeah, and then you're waiting for it. I don't need it to go by super fast, but I'm super stoked. We're kind of recording the last episode of the month, mm-hmm. and we're I'm thinking spring, man. Groundhog's Day is coming up.
Yeah, my birthday's coming up.
Yeah, Amber's going to turn older.
Yep.
Better and wiser.
I'm actually not. I'm just staying the same age because I've decided that that's just what I want to do. So, yeah.
Well, you do what you want because it's your reality.
It is. It's true.
But we've been Pizza Rainbow.
Yeah, 12 episodes now.
I'm 12. Yeah. Oh, my God. There's going to be a teenager.
It's right on the cusp. Yep. It's Alyssa Milano from Who's the Boss.
We're tweens.
Yep.
It's tween town.
Tween town. I love it. Yeah, there's something about the end of January, though, that like gives me anxiety, and I don't know what it is.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, it's your birthday. I bet it's your birthday.
Well, I don't know. It feels like, you know, you start out the month like super fresh, and you're like, I'm going to do it. And then at the end of the month, you're like, you know, I got to pay rent. Now I got to do this shit. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. There's just something that I'm like, I feel like I'm forgetting something major.
Yeah.
In the next couple of days.
You have to think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, rent.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta talk to you about that. Just kidding. No.
I got a face on.
Let's
about
have an
that.
Awkward tenant and landlord conversation.
Woo woo.
Just kidding. I'm moving out, so I'm not gonna pay you any rent. But
all right, well, I'm gonna go pack up all of Amber's stuff. Thanks for tuning into Pizza Rainbow. Fucking love you.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Pizza Rainbow. For other podcasts that are awesome as ours, check out mathishard.net. Otherwise, go on iTunes and rate, review, and do stuff with us that is appropriate.
For more Jen Paulson, you can find her on Twitter at TigerBeatPoet. You can also check her out on Instagram at JenJunePaulson. To find me on Twitter, you can find me at Amber_L Carter and also on AmberLCarter.com. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you again next week.